Well, good evening. Welcome back. It's good to see everybody here tonight. Once again, numbers a little bit down. Some people not feeling well. Some people at work. Possibly some people traveling. I'm not sure about that. That'll probably happen later on in the week for sure, though. Probably for sure. I always like it when people say things like that. It's good to be here with you tonight. It was just an awesome day. Unseasonably mild. I actually got hot. I was out walking my dogs earlier and I started sweating. So you don't expect things like that in mid-November, late November. I would say don't get used to it. I think we're going to have to wake up to reality here really soon, take advantage of those days. But it's always good to be in here, in this nice, comfortable building. I appreciate Jenny's compliments earlier. She said it always looks spotless in here. I appreciate that. It's just a nice place to be, to come and serve God and worship God. And we're so glad you're here. And we're thankful for your faithfulness. We ask you at this time to open your Bibles to Luke chapter 17. And we're going to read verses 11 through 19 in just a moment. That's page 82 of the Pew Bible in the New Testament section. As you'll notice, Rick handed out a piece of paper to everybody and an ink pen if they needed one. And I know you didn't think you were going to have to do an assignment when you got here today. I'm actually going to ask you to do two assignments, one here in the building and one out, aside of here, and you can choose to do them or not, but I really do hope you will follow along with what I'm going to ask you to do in just about a moment or two, however long that may be, strictly speaking. One thing I usually don't do is preach a sermon along side a particular national holiday and follow that theme. I usually try to stay away from that. And I could get into the reasoning behind that, but I won't. I'll talk to you about that personally if you'd like to hear the reasoning behind that. But I'm going to make an exception tonight because just thinking about the upcoming holiday, Thanksgiving, caused me to stop and ponder how thankful of a person I am, how appreciative I am of all the wonderful things that I've been blessed with in life and whether I appreciate God and the people in my life. And it just got me to thinking, we need to think more about that, being thankful. So what I'd ask you to do at this time is take that piece of paper and just a minute and a half, just the first things that jump into your mind. What are you thinking about right now, the things that you are most thankful for in this life? And I'm going to do something I usually never do either, maybe the first time ever. I'm actually going to have a moment of silence in my sermon and to give you just a moment to write some things down that you're thankful about. All right, the moment of silence is over. You can keep writing if you want to, but that's I can't handle all that silence. It's deafening. I'm going to start reading this passage at this time, Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. You can follow along in your Bibles, or you can keep writing, and that's just fine. And when you're done writing, hold on to that paper, and I'm going to ask you later on in the sermon to pick that back up. Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. While he, that is Jesus, was on the way to Jerusalem, he was passing between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, 10 leprous men who stood at a distance met him. And they raised their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they were going, they were cleansed. Now one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at his feet, giving thanks to him, and he was a Samaritan. And then Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed, but the 9, where are they? Was no one found who returned to give God or glory to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Stand up and go. Your faith has made you well." Now, having been questioned by the Pharisees as to when the kingdom of God was coming, he answered and said to them, "The kingdom of God is not coming with signs to be observed, nor will they say, 'Look, here it is,' or 'There it is.' Behold, the kingdom of God is in your midst." Actually, I really didn't mean to read those last two verses. Not really going to be applicable to tonight's lesson. Already getting off to a good start here. But I want to have us learn a lesson today about thankfulness, about appreciation from the master teacher himself. Jesus taught us a lesson about that, and I want us to See what we can garner from what it is He's teaching us in this passage. Jesus was on His way to Jerusalem from Galilee, and He stopped at a village somewhere between Samaria and Galilee. And 10 people with leprosy stood at a distance and begged Him for mercy. You talk about leprosy, I think a lot of people associate it with the leprosy that we're familiar with today. I get the impression from my studies that it was a little bit different. There are several varieties of leprosy or skin diseases, and it's not quite a parallel to some of the horror stories that you read about and hear about today with people who have leprosy in foreign countries. But it was still a horrible disease. It got its name from the scales that formed on the skin, and that's the word for scales is lepra, and that's where the word leprosy came from. And it appeared as dry, white scabs or scales on the skin. It typically started on the face or the legs or the feet, and it could spread throughout the whole body. And it was usually accompanied with violent itching and often with great pain, and it could progress as far as to go into raw, open sores on the body. And as those sores, those lesions enlarged, on the skin of the face could become disfigured. And it could even lead to blindness, and it could even deform the body as a whole. Eastern leprosy, and that's what I'm calling it because that's what, I don't know what else to call it to differentiate it from other types of leprosy, but the type of leprosy likely that we're talking about here was highly contagious. Because you read in passages in the Old Testament, Leviticus and other passages, other books from the Bible, it talks about what to do with a garment that was infected or a house that was infected. So it infected garments and homes, and it was deemed incurable by human means. And therefore, victims were ostracized from society, those who were victimized by this disease of leprosy. They were to have no contact with the healthy human population. Therefore, the lepers that Jesus had come in contact with, so to speak, stood far away. They stood at a distance. And we read in Leviticus chapter 13 and verse 45, one of the laws concerning a leper and what he must do if someone were to be approaching him or he would be approaching someone else who's healthy. It says in Leviticus 13 and 45, his clothes shall be torn and the hair of his head shall be uncovered, and he shall cover his mustache and cry, "Unclean, unclean." So you can see these poor people were banished from society. And they were marked and targeted for avoidance. And they even had to mark and target themselves. They had to let other people know to avoid them. They were treated as if they were dead already. Just a terrible life to live. Not much of a life really at all. More of just an existence. A miserable, painful, lonely, pitiful form of existence. People with leprosy. Verses 13 and 14 of the passage we read from Luke chapter 17 said, they cried out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." As leprosy was just a merciless disease, they knew that they were at the mercy of the Master to save them, to heal them, to cure them. And He didn't say, "You're healed." He didn't say, "Go on your way and show yourself to the priests because you're cleansed." He just told them to go show themselves to the priests. I find that very interesting. And the reason why a cleansed leper was to show himself to the priest, it was written out that way, spelled out clearly in the law, Leviticus, once again, and other places, that the priests were to examine the skin of the leper and to verify that the person was cleansed. And then he was to reintroduce him or authorize his reentrance into society. And even though no treatment is detailed in the Scripture, and we see that there really were no known cures, sometimes cleansing did occur. I guess either by miraculous means, like this happened with Jesus and these men here, or maybe it went into remission, like some diseases tend to do under certain circumstances. But it's interesting, once again, that Jesus just told them to go show themselves to the priest. They believed in the Master enough to obey Him at His word, even though they were still leprous when they turned around and walked away. And as they were going, They were cleansed. As they were heading to the priest, they looked at themselves, and lo and behold, the leprosy was gone. It had just vanished. And lo and behold, Jesus had mercy on them. Just a wonderful thing to consider. He healed their disease. He removed their shame. He restored them, their lives to them. They went from being outcast from society and isolated and alienated from their loved ones, from their families, from their husbands, their wives, their neighbors. They went from that to being repaired, renewed, and restored. Can you just imagine how thankful they must have been for this cleansing, for this restoration? Or were they? Were they thankful? In verses 15 to 16, Jesus said, "Now one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, one of them, there were ten, and one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at his feet, giving thanks to him, and he was a Samaritan. Only one returned to express his heartfelt appreciation for what had taken place. And it would have to be a Samaritan, wouldn't it? The very people who were despised by God's people. People who were outcasts and pariahs from society according to the mind of the typical Jew, without leprosy. This is the one who comes back and thanks Jesus for what had happened. Verses 17 and 18, then Jesus answered and said, Were there not ten cleansed, but the nine, where are they? Was no one found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? Think about it. Of all the people that you would have thought, or that really the immediate audience who would have heard this story or read this for the first time, of all the people that you'd think would have responded in this way with this heartfelt thanksgiving, you wouldn't have thought it had been this guy. The other nine, it seems to be implied, were not foreigners. Jesus pointed out this man was a foreigner, and it said he was a Samaritan by the writer. So I think it's implied that the other people were Jews. They were Israelites. They were God's chosen people. People who knew God better than anyone else and should have loved Him and respected Him and appreciated Him the most. But the one despised and rejected by God's people was the only one to praise and glorify the people's God. And that was the Samaritan. It's very interesting to observe. Do you get the impression that Jesus expected them to appreciate what God had done for them, what He had done for them? Do you get that impression? Now look, Jesus didn't say, you be sure and go glorify God for this healing, like we'll do with our children sometimes, right? When we sit down to eat, and we'll say, you make sure you thank God for your food, because a lot of times adults will forget to do that, and children will forget to do that, and we'll tell them, but make sure you do that. Jesus didn't do that. He didn't treat them like children, did he? He didn't say, now you be sure to appreciate what I'm doing for you. But he was clearly disappointed with the response, or the lack of response, wasn't he, of the nine ungrateful people? Gratitude should have just been a given in this situation, right? They did what he told them to do. He said, go show yourself to the priest, and they did that. But only one threw himself on the ground before Jesus and praised God and thanked him for this incredible miracle. Jesus wanted that from all of them. But he just wanted it to come from within them, right? He wanted it to come from their heart. It shouldn't have been prompted. It shouldn't have had to have been elicited from them verbally. They should have just wanted to do that. It should have been unavoidable. Don't you think God's people should be the most appreciative people in the world? Really? Don't you think that them at that time and us should be the very first ones to drop down to the ground when something wonderful has happened in our lives and just give the praise and honor to God for that? You can understand if they were caught up in the moment, in the situation. Maybe the thrill and excitement of just their life being totally transformed and being cleansed now. Maybe it just distracted them. Sometimes that happens to us, don't it? Have you ever been excited about something or got distracted by something and someone did something nice for you, and you just, it slipped your mind to thank them. Has that ever happened? Maybe you're at work, somebody did something nice for you, and then you got home later, it's like, I didn't thank that person for that. So you can understand, that kind of thing happens. Sometimes little things we should be thankful for. They can just slip by, and it happens all the time. It's understandable. With Teresa does so many wonderful things for me throughout my day that I just don't thank her for all of them. I should, but I let them slip by sometimes, so I get that. But this wasn't a little thing, was it? This was a really huge deal. This was a life-changing thing. This was a life-giving, a life-restoring event in their lives. This was an incredible miracle. Let me ask you, were they caught up in the moment? Or were they just unthankful? I can't answer that, but it's something to ponder. One commentator had this to say about this particular passage of Scripture. He said, no story in the Gospels demonstrates man's ingratitude toward God more than this passage. And he took that and compared it to how the world views what Jesus has done for them. How he has come, he came to this world to offer cleansing for man's greatest disease, the most terrible blight on man's life, sin. He came to eradicate that, and hardly no one appreciates him for that. I don't even think it's 1 out of 10 like it is of the story of these 10 lepers being cleansed. It's probably less than 10%, I'm sure it is, of the people who really appreciate what Christ came to do for them in this world. It's a sad testimony to the state of heart of mankind. But what I want us to understand here is that being thankful is a big deal to God. It really is. God wants people to be appreciative, especially His people, to appreciate Him and all of His goodness, and appreciate the people in their lives who bring such joy and happiness. We should appreciate that. And let me ask you, why is that? Why do you think it is that God wants us to appreciate Him and things and others? Do you think it's to benefit God? Do you think if we appreciate God or the things He does for us or the people He gives us in His life, that it's going to make Him any better? That He's going to be any more perfect? He's God. It really doesn't help Him. People need to be thankful for who? For ourselves. That's right. Because it's for our own well-being. A lack of thankfulness can really reflect a serious defect in character. God's people should be the most virtuous, ethical, thankful, dignified people on this whole planet. And ingratitude is an indicator that that's just not the case. Ingratitude can really express a type of arrogance if you think about it. Ingratitude can really give the impression that maybe we expect nice things from God and other people. Maybe we feel like we're just deserving of it. I don't know, because we're so wonderful, or just because we're here and we should be given every good thing in life while we're here, and just take advantage of things and people. It might just be a reflection of arrogance within us. I surely hope not, if some of us suffer from being unthankful and unappreciative. Or a lack of thankfulness or appreciation can reflect that we're pessimistic people, that we're generally unhappy people, we're dissatisfied with life. We're not content in whatever circumstance we might find ourselves in, as Paul said he was in Philippians chapter 4 in verse 11. Or it could indicate, heaven forbid, that we're unloving. Psalm 107 in verse 1 says, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His loving kindness is everlasting. We should give thanks to the Lord just because He's good and because He's loving. Let me ask you, if we're not appreciative of the Lord, do we really love Him? Let's just carry that on farther down into our lives here on earth with the people we have relationships with as well. If we don't appreciate the people in our lives, what does that say about our feelings toward them? Do we really love them the way that we ought to? Because I think appreciation is a good measure of love. The love that we should have for God and for people and for life. Are we loving, thankful, appreciative people? Could it be a time for some good, honest introspection, some serious self-evaluation? Ask ourselves seriously this question. Honestly consider it. Am I a grateful person? I can't answer that question for you. I can only answer it for myself. And when I answer it, I hope I'm not deluding or kidding myself, because it's a very important question to ask. Because if that answer is no, I've really got some work to do. Because it's indicative of some deep-seated, deeply ingrained, underlying spiritual problems in my life. I need to get in the habit of thanking God for all of His good gifts. I need to get in the habit of thanking people for the good things they do for me. And the only way I'm going to be able to pull that off is really to stop and consider, give good consideration to the trouble and the effort people expend, the trouble they go to and the effort they expend on my behalf. The way they go out of their way to do nice things for me, the energy they expend to treat me favorably and kindly. And if I'll do that, I'm more likely to be thankful for that. And if I'm focusing on that, being more aware and more appreciative, I think that's really one large step towards spiritual healing. If I'm suffering from a spiritual malady because I'm not grateful enough. Let me ask you something. Let me say this first before I ask you. One indicator of being unthankful might be that we complain or grumble about things. Do you grumble or complain about things often in your day? 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verses 10 and 11 tells us not to grumble as some of the children of Israel did while they were wandering through the wilderness toward the promised land. Don't grumble as some of them did and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now these things happened to them as an example, and they were written for our instruction upon whom the ends of the ages have come. One of God's greatest complaints against His people, Israel, is that they complained way too much. They weren't just a few days removed from Egyptian captivity, and they were on their way to the promised land, and they were hungry, and they complained that they didn't have the food they wanted. And God supplied them with food. He rained it out of heaven, this manna. And then they grew tired of the food they were eating. And they grumbled and complained about it. We loathe this bread. And they got to a place where water was, and it was bitter, and they complained about it. And then God provided fresh water for them, and they found a way to complain about that as well. They didn't have enough water. God had set them free from their taskmasters in Egypt and parted the Red Sea and so they could safely escape and closed the sea on top of their enemies and drowned them and destroyed them and was guiding them by a cloud through the day and a pillar of fire at night and was taking them on to a land that He promised would be flowing with milk and honey. And all they did was gripe and grumble and complain and murmur. They were just a bunch of ingrates. Being unappreciative, being unthankful, is disrespectful to God. And it displeases Him greatly. And what it's saying is that we're not happy with Him. God, I'm not happy with You. And that's what the children of Israel expressed to Him during that episode. Grumbling and complaining is nothing more than an expression of overall dissatisfaction with God and with your lot in life and with life. So, let me ask you again. Do you complain a lot? How many times a day do you complain? What if I were to ask you, and here's that assignment that I would like you to consider to do at home, and I think it would greatly behoove you to do this. What if I were to ask you to go 24 hours without complaining? What would be the first thing you'd do? Would you complain that I asked you to do that? Come on! I can't do that. What are you asking me to do? This guy's always asking me to do stuff. Could you go 24 hours without complaining? Here's the assignment. Pay attention. Pick a day this week and pay attention to the number of times you grumble or gripe or complain about something. And maybe you've just never noticed it. I tell you what, I'll do this as well. I'll do it if you'll do it. I'll do it even if you don't do it. Write it down. Every time you catch yourself complaining about something, write it down on a piece of paper. And then what I want you to do is read it the next day, the things you've complained about. And you know what I really feel very strongly that you're going to find when you read that the next day? That you just didn't have that much to complain about. You just really didn't. In all likelihood, you have everything you need. And most of the stuff that you want. And you're blessed with good people in your life. And maybe, just maybe, it's just that we're too easily dissatisfied with the good things that God blessed us with. If we're not careful, it can just become a character issue. It can become not just something that we do sometimes, but it can become who we are. And we don't want to be there. Nobody wants to be there, but especially God's people don't want to be there. But let me warn you, if you don't complain a lot, that doesn't necessarily mean that you're a thankful person and that you don't have a problem with ingratitude. So if you go and you do this test, you do this assignment, and you pass it, you're not off the hook. It doesn't necessarily mean that you're in the clear. Some people rarely complain, but they rarely, if ever, express thankfulness to God either. So we need to be careful about that. I want you to notice something that's very interesting to me, that Jesus equated thanking God with giving Him glory. The man, the Samaritan who was healed, he thanked God and he gave God glory. And he came and he fell at Jesus' feet and thanking Him. And Jesus said, "Where are the others? Are you the only one who glorified God?" When we thank God for the good things that He does for us in His life, we're glorifying Him. When we thank Him for all the good things that abound in our life, we give Him the glory. Have you ever heard anyone say that? I give God the glory for every good thing that happens in my life. I love a statement like that. I love it when, and I don't say it enough, but I've said it before, and I should say it more. Any good thing that comes from what we do here today, we're going to give God the glory in advance, right? Because it's all Him. It's all His power. It's all His wonderfulness, His greatness, His Word that elicits all the good changes in our life. He is the giver of all good gifts. James chapter 1 and verse 17 says that every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation nor shifting shadow. Do we fail to give God the glory for our many blessings that He gives us? Are we diligent to be expressive of our gratitude? Do we really, do we stop and thank Him for every good thing, for the physical blessings, for the things that make life so pleasant for our health? A lot of people don't feel like they have much to be thankful about there, and I can appreciate that. Some of us are not as healthy as others. But do we thank Him for our homes and our families and our nice warm beds that we sleep in and just the good friends that we have in our life, the nice clothes we wear? We should. Are we appreciative of those things, of those physical things? Let me ask you this. Are those the most important things? Go ahead and pull that paper out that you wrote down a while ago. And you're not going to have to show this to anyone but yourself. I want to ask you, what kind of things were you most thankful for there? Do you see things like your husband, your wife, your family, your children, your home, your health? Those are great things, aren't they? Thank God for those. I have to say amen if you wrote those down. But let me ask you, are those the most important things? Did anyone write down Jesus? Good for you. Did anyone write down the blood of Jesus? Did anyone write down my soul? Salvation, forgiveness of sins. Did anybody write down heaven? Because really, these are the greatest of all blessings. I hear prayers led by men. Sorry, men, but you're the one who lead the prayers. And I'm not just talking about this congregation. I'm talking about other places and at other settings. But I hear men lead prayers. And I hear a lot of thanksgiving every now and then. But most of the time, I don't hear much thanksgiving. You know what I usually hear is a list of requests. And not a lot of praising and glorifying and giving the glory. And sometimes, well, quite often, I hear people, and I do this myself, praise God for all the physical and spiritual blessings I have in life. And that's good. We should praise Him for all the spiritual and physical blessings we have. But a lot of times we don't enumerate them. We don't elaborate on them. But you know, one of the things I fear that people who pray for all, thank Him for all the spiritual and physical blessings, that they're putting them on a par. They're making them equal in value. And they're not. The spiritual blessings are far superior. They're eternal. They're the greatest. They'll never fade. We'll never lose them. We'll lose our homes. We'll lose our families. We'll lose our health. We will lose our life on this earth. That's the reality of things. But not our soul. And if we're faithful to God, not our salvation. Not our home in heaven. Not our relationship with God and Jesus. Those are the things that should be the driving force behind our thanksgiving. And look, if they are, we're going to want to fall down on our faces and thank Him for everything. Frequently. Frequently. How much appreciation do we have for our salvation? And for heaven, and for Jesus, and the price that He paid, and the lengths that He went to make sure we could get there? Mark chapter 8, verses 36 and 37, Jesus says, "For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? For what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" Nothing's more valuable. Nothing in this world. It wouldn't be worth all the world and all its treasures, all its gold, all its money. Be thankful for your soul and for your soul's Savior and for your soul's home. Well, a very terse, to the point, and a profound statement is made in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18. And it just says this. It says, "In everything give thanks. This is the will of God for you. In everything give thanks." Four little words, easy to say, hard to do. It's not always easy to pull that off. What I want to caution you is, I don't think it's saying that we have to give thanks for everything. I don't think that's what's being applied here, what's being stated. In other words, what's being said here is, in every situation, in everything, give thanks. In everything, not for everything. In every situation, find something to be thankful for. Can you do that? Because that's what God wants His people to be like. He just wants us to be thankful people. He doesn't want it to be what we do. He just wants it to be who we are. Just to be thankful people in every situation, in anything. Now listen, it can be tough, if not impossible, to thank God for losing a loved one. But can you thank Him for just allowing that person to be in your life for the few moments that you had to spend with him or her? That precious gift that He gave to you, that no one will ever be able to take away from you. You'll carry that person around with you the rest of your life. It can be difficult to thank God when you don't have a job. But can you thank Him that He's given you everything you need? And you've got people in your life who are willing to help you. And that He promises that no matter what, He's going to meet the most important needs of your life. It can be difficult to have your house broken into. Anybody here ever had their house broken into? I know a lot of people have. There's some people not here today who have had a problem with that. It can be hard to thank God for having your house broken into. I'd never thank Him for that. But can we thank Him for having a house? Can we find a reason to be thankful in that situation? That everything wasn't taken? That even if the whole house was taken, we have a house not built with hand. One built by God in heaven. A mansion in heaven just waiting for us, regardless of what happens to us down here. That's what God wants us to be. He just wants us to be thankful people. I want you to read this passage with me. I have it up here on the screen. Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 16 through 19. And Habakkuk wrote this in anticipation of Israel, Judah. I say Israel to include all of God's kingdom, all of His people, being overthrown by the Babylonian Empire. And he was just in a state of extreme distress and very troubled. We read Habakkuk 3, 16 through 19. I heard and my inward parts trembled. At the sound my lips quivered. Decay enters my bones and in my place I tremble, because I must wait quietly for the days of distress, for the people to arise who will invade us. Though the fig tree should not blossom and there be no fruit on the vines, though the yield of the olive should fail and the fields produce no food, though the flock should be cut off from the fold and there be no cattle in the stalls, yet I will exult in the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and He has made my feet like hinds' feet and makes me walk on high places. That's where God wants us to be. No matter come what may, the world may be falling down around me. Yes, it's going to trouble me. It's going to make my inward parts shiver and quiver and quake. But I'm going to exalt God. And I'm going to praise Him. And I'm going to be thankful for everything He has done for me and everything He promises to do for me if I am faithful. No matter what, come what may, just love and appreciate God because He's God. Colossians 3 and verse 15 says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful." Let the peace of Christ dwell in your hearts and be thankful. Just be thankful. No matter what's happening. You know, one of the motivations for us being thankful is all the good gifts that we have from God. I know God wants us to get to the point where we're not just thankful for the gifts. We're thankful for what? The giver. Just thankful for the giver. Just thankful for Christ. Just have that peace of Christ reign in our hearts. And look, if you can get to the point where the peace that passes all comprehension envelops your heart, you're going to be a thankful person and you're not going to have anything to worry about. Well, you can go ahead and pick up your songbooks. We're going to sing number 198 as a song of encouragement for you to obey the gospel this evening. We started this lesson talking about leprosy. And leprosy is a very apt symbol, a very appropriate symbol for sin. And it is depicted so in the Bible. And you think about, compare sin with leprosy. It could start with a very small and seemingly harmless spot on your foot or your hand, leprosy. And it's the same way with sin. It could start seemingly small and harmlessly. But sin doesn't stay small, does it? It doesn't stay isolated. It spreads. Like leprosy covers the whole body, attacking its host. So sin does that to us as well. It attacks us. And it defiles us like leprosy does the leper. And it makes us miserable and isolated. And it makes us walking dead, just like leprosy does. It's contagious to others as well. It affects other people in the process of our sinning. And like the leper is separated from the rest of healthy humanity, The sinner is separated from God, dead in his sins. And like leprosy, a doctor couldn't help it. Not then, he can now. But then he couldn't. So like leprosy, only Jesus can cleanse us of our sin stain, our sin disease. Are you ready for that? Are you ready to be cleansed? If you are, if you'll obey Him, if you'll accept Him and do what He tells you to do, He'll say to you like He told that Samaritan who was cleansed. He'll say, stand up and go. Your faith has made you well. Go on your way rejoicing and be thankful. Do you appreciate the sacrifice that Christ made for you? Do you really appreciate it? Because you know what? If you don't, you'll never take advantage of it. You never will. If you can't learn to really be appreciative and thankful for that, it'll be wasted on you. You ready to obey the gospel this evening? Are you ready to believe the Word, the Bible, the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ? Are you ready to confess your faith in Jesus to others? You believe that He is the Christ. Are you ready to repent of your sins, to turn from them, purpose to walk in them no longer? Are you ready to be baptized, fully immersed in water, in order to have your sins forgiven? You'll go on your way rejoicing, just like the eunuch did in Acts chapter 8. We stand ready to do that for you, to help you with that. You just come up here and you let me know what you need us to do while we're standing and singing to your encouragement. Would you be